Welcome back to another episode of Illuminating Information, the podcast where we shine a light on the cutting-edge ideas shaping the way we work and innovate. Today, we're diving into the topic of AI knowledge graphs, a powerful way of structuring and connecting information to make it truly understandable for both humans and machines. Joining me is Joshua Cole, head of technical sales at MindBreeze. We'll look at what knowledge graphs are, why they are becoming essential in enterprise AI, and how they're used within MindBreeze Inspire to deliver deeper, context-aware insights. Let's jump in. Thank you for joining us again today. Last month, Josh joined us to discuss the concept of RAG, and it was really insightful that we just had to have him back again this month to talk about knowledge graphs. To start off, I know you introduced yourself in the last episode. Could you introduce yourself and describe your role at MindBreeze a little bit?
Yeah, hi, Brittany. Thanks very much for having me back on the podcast. So my name's Joshua Cole, and as you mentioned, I'm the head of technical sales here. I've been working at MindBreeze for nearly 10 years now, and I primarily work in the area of proof of concept projects and in pre-sales. And for the last, shall we say, maybe 4 years, RAG and knowledge graphs has become an ever-increasing topic of not just my projects and my role in the company, but the whole company in general. So it's something that I'm very, very familiar with and I work with nearly every day.
Mm-hmm. And for the users who are new to the concept, can you explain exactly what a knowledge graph is and what its core components are?
Yeah, so in this context, when we talk about a graph, we're not talking about a graph how you may have known it in school. So we're not talking about, you know, a pie chart or a bar graph or something. It's this mathematical representation of a graph where you have nodes and edges. And effectively, a node, you can imagine on a sheet of paper, you can have lots of little dots drawn. And you can draw a line between these dots. So the dots are the nodes, and the lines connecting the dots together are the edges. And in a knowledge graph, the nodes are, you can effectively think of them in a search and find and in an insight engine perspective, these nodes are real world entities. So this could be a person, or it could be a specific document, or it could be a project, or it's some kind of a real world entity. And those are the nodes. And the edges, which are connecting all of the nodes together, these are the relationships that these nodes have with one another. A really easy way to think about this is we could, in our index, we could have all of our experts indexed as nodes, so as entities. And we could have a whole bunch of documents. And if we know who the authors are of these documents, and if these authors are in our expert index, we can very easily connect these two together. And that's this edge. So that's this, we're drawing this relationship between these different nodes in the knowledge graph. And we can say this expert is the author of this document, or these multiple documents, for example. And these are really the key building blocks of the whole knowledge graph concept. It's looking at nodes and entities and their relationships with one another. And the key way that we can build up these relationships is by looking at the different attributes that these nodes have and organizing them in such a way that they give structure and then give us insight. So give us a much deeper and more meaningful insight into the data that we're looking at.
Mm-hmm. So would it work the same then for like another example of how the nodes are connected if there was two different sales projects and the same salesperson was working on both? Would that be one of the connections?
Yeah, exactly. And that's a really good point, because in that case, we're looking at the same node for the person. So we'll have just one node for that represents that one singular person, but maybe they'll have two different projects. And that's also shows the sort of the efficiency that you can get with a knowledge graph. We don't need to duplicate this person across all of the projects that they're associated with. We have one person in the knowledge graph, but we just have lots of edges connecting them to the project nodes. And it means that we don't need to effectively copy paste the same information over and over again. we have the semantic connection and the relationships built between these nodes in the graph.
Yeah, interesting. So why do you think that knowledge graphs have become such a foundational technology for enterprise search and AI? How do you think they improve contextual search, data integration, generative AI grounding, and explainability? I feel like this kind of goes into what we're already talking about, but to give it more of a structure.
Yeah, for sure. So that's a really good question. So knowledge graphs really allow us to infer context and find out hidden insights, maybe hidden away behind the data. So we can have all of this data, but if we don't have the relationships between the data, it's a lot harder to really get meaningful insights back to the end user. So that's especially the case when we look at things like show me the expert. If we have our project team in our index and we know which documents they've authored, then it's much easier to understand where their areas of expertise are. And this is information that we can then present back to the end user in a much more meaningful way. So in our workplace, when we're performing a search for the find the expert or search for the expert, then a user can ask a natural language question such as, who has knowledge about subject XYZ? And based on these edges that we've drawn between these different nodes in our knowledge graph, we're able to see that, okay, this member of the project team, John Doe, he has authored these documents, and these documents are exactly what the searching user is interested in, and therefore John Doe might be a really interesting person for that search user to see and then maybe even get the contact information for.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that it can do, and that's also something we briefly touched on before, is really to connect different data together. So that's something we've already talked about before, drawing these connections. And that can really help with search use cases and insight use cases. When a user is searching for a specific person, in this case, let's just stay on the example of experts and people. If they're searching for a specific person, the documents themselves might not mention, let's say, that person's email. But if I know their email and I search for their email, I can find that person and that person result, i.e. that person's node in the knowledge graph. And thanks to the connections to all of the documents they've authored, thanks to the knowledge graph, I can then be shown that automatically as well. And of course, all of the data that's been connected together like this dynamically and automatically in our knowledge graph can really help with RAG workflows as well. So all of the information that the end users are being presented and all of these additional insights is information that can only help RAG workflows. So the more information that we're able to give a RAG pipeline, the better it's able to answer with its generated answer with accuracy and with meaningful information.
Mm-hmm. And when you say dynamic, do you mean that when you change one node, any type of information in that node, it is automatically changed in the relationship too, correct? Like if their email changed, for instance, it would show up when you were looking at the author document when you got to that expert.
Exactly. So yeah, absolutely. So that's exactly how it works. So when we talk about the nodes, and that's more in line with what I was talking about a little bit earlier, when we have these nodes and we have these connections, so the edges, it's really not a matter of, let's say, copy-pasting a project user onto all of the projects that they're working on. They're really more like pointers. And we can say that the person at this node is pointing to all of these different projects that they're responsible for. And that means that if, let's say, they've updated their contact information, maybe they've got a new phone number, mm-hmm. we update that phone number just once, just in one place in the knowledge graph, and it's automatically updated and propagated to every single node which is connected to it by an edge. So not necessarily just the projects, but all of the documents they've authored mm-hmm. and everything else that they're connected to, it's automatically propagated.
Awesome. Yeah, I feel like that's such a convenient and big reason why the data integration in this way is so helpful for enterprises. So I just wanted to make sure that we highlighted that and discussed it. But I also now want to move on to how MindBreeze specifically, I know we've kind of touched on it, but how MindBreeze itself uses knowledge graphs. To my understanding, they build a 360-degree view of enterprise information. Can you explain how the system connects documents, tickets, database records, and structured metadata to create this semantic system? So getting into a little bit of the technical side.
Yeah, sure. So this is typically all done through the indexing process, and it can be done in several different areas. So in some cases within MindBreeze, this is actually done automatically by our crawlers right out of the gate, and that means that administrators don't even need to worry about configuring anything. In those cases, that could be, for example, documents pointing directly to their parent folders, for example. And then that means in the front end, when we look at a particular folder, we automatically know all of the files within. So that doesn't sound too exciting, but that's just a very quick example of what might happen directly and automatically at the crawler level. But these are all references. And that's more important from this, what we were mentioning earlier, this automatic updating of the node. So we don't need to change every single file within a folder if the folder name is changed. Mm-hmm. It's just pointing straight to that folder and that folder name's updated, and we still know what the parent folder is on every single file. But that's just something that will happen at crawling time. But within the index configuration itself, within our semantic pipeline, we're also able to fully control and configure that for more custom use cases as well. So what we typically will do here is have, let's say, two different data sources. So this could be disparate data from completely separate areas, but there might be one piece of information which connects them together. And if we just stick with the expert use case again, that could be, let's say, the email address. So we'll have the email address from our Active Directory data source, which we've indexed. And we would also have the, let's say, the emails attached as the author name to all of these documents that we've indexed. So what we need to do on the index side, to not to get too technical here because it's very difficult to describe configuration just audibly, but effectively what we will do at the index time is just say, hey, we're actually interested in connecting this data source to that data source, and let's do it via the email. We simply point the index to that particular metadata, in this case, the user email and maybe the author email, and then it's going to create that, what we call a reference, but really it's this knowledge graph link. We're connecting these two nodes via an edge. So we're effectively just saying we have these two nodes and this is the edge that we want to create. And once we have that edge, we're actually able to use that in multiple different ways. And that could be, for example, pulling certain information across from one search result to another, or it could help us really leverage, as you mentioned earlier, full 360 degree views of enterprise information. So in the front end, when we build our inside apps, and also in the workplace, when we look at 360 degree views in the workplace, if we are interested in a particular document, we can take that reference that we've built and leverage that to pull across all the information that we're interested in. So if we're looking at a particular document and we see that we have the author, which is, let's say, you know, John Doe at mindbreeze.com, we can then use that reference to pull across all of their information. So not just their email, but their phone number, perhaps the department that they work in, and even and any other information that we might have via the Active Directory data source. And then that can be used to build this 360 degree view and really empower the users with additional insights.
Mm-hmm. I feel like you've already kind of answered my next question, which was asking for practical use cases of knowledge graphs in MindBreeze Inspire and how it translates to real benefits for users. Can you think of another example, maybe going away from the find the expert touch point or that example, so we can give a little bit of variety?
Yeah, sure. So one of those was the Find the Expert, which had been on for a while. But if we think of some others, like generative AI grounding, where we can use knowledge graphs to supply trusted content to generative AI models, which then helps ensure that the generated answers for the end users are both accurate but also traceable. So as I mentioned a little bit earlier, we can feed all of this information into our RAG pipelines and our generative pipelines. And that doesn't just mean, let's say, document content, but it's really the document content and metadata. And this metadata includes these references. And what that means is we can take all of this data and this information and context which surrounds a particular result which we want to use generative AI to help generate a large answer for us with, and we can give the LLM a lot more information to work with and a lot more correct and accurate information as well. And then finally, when the Gen AI model uses that to generate us an answer, we are able to use the citations, which is directly built into our AI answers widget, and we can use those citations to jump straight to the point in the document where the answer has been taken from. And that includes this reference.
Yes. And this is a podcast, obviously, so it's not visual, but it is really interesting to see in the demos how it highlights within the document the references. So it could be like a 2,000 page document, and then you can jump straight into what's being cited in the AI answer. So everybody listening should go to our website and check it out.
Yeah. And one final thing just quickly was, because so far I've been talking about how we can sort of, with one search result or one insight, we can pull in a lot of different information from different places to give the user one large overview. But of course, via these edges, so these references, these links between our nodes, end users are also able to jump as well. So they could be looking at a document, and then maybe they want to jump straight from this document to either a related document or to the author or any other direction where we have these edges built between our nodes, and they're able to do that thanks to these nodes. So they'll just be able to jump straight from one result to a highly relevant referenced result as well, with a in some cases just with a single click. So that's one final use case there.
Yeah, that's a great one. It really speeds up the workflow for our customers, I think. What are some of the common challenges organizations face when building and scaling knowledge graphs, and how does MindBreeze address these issues?
Yeah, so one of the main things can be really just inconsistent data, and that's something that we have seen a lot, something that I've had experience with in some of the projects I've worked on, where quite simply different departments or different people are responsible for maintaining their own data, and there's more than one way that people can do the same thing, and that might be that they store, let's say, usernames with the first name dot last name, but then another department might store it with last name comma first name. Mm-hmm. Neither way is incorrect or correct. They're just two different, totally valid ways to store the same information, but that can make it difficult when you want to cross-reference this information, because a user, if they were doing this manually, they would have to first, okay, reverse the names and then cross-reference that themselves manually to find out where the links are. And that can be the first thing, where we have inconsistent data, especially across different data sets. And this can also make it difficult when users are, let's say, doing a classical search across the indices, because maybe they don't quite know if they should search with one format or the other format, or if they search with one particular format, then they'll only find results which use that format. And then this can also make AI performance slightly worse as well, because as I'm sure a lot of our listeners and you, Brittany, have experienced, sometimes a large language model isn't intelligent enough to infer or understand that these two different name formats are actually the same person. They're referring to the same entity.
Yeah.
And then it may think that we're talking about multiple people when really it's just one person written in multiple different ways. And that can be one challenge there. Then the other challenge is partially related, but especially in larger organizations with multiple departments, these different teams may have their own ontologies, and they may be responsible for maintaining these ontologies. So these lists of synonyms or acronyms and so on, and they're maintaining all of these different lists. And as the data expands and scales, maintaining and managing these ontologies, especially when we're talking about across different departments, becomes more difficult. And that's also something in the direction of scalability and performance as well. So, but where MindBreeze can come in to assist with these things, when we look at, for example, the inconsistent data, that's something that we can help normalize, and we can also leverage LLMs and AI to normalize that information with custom prompts within our semantic pipeline at data ingestion time. And once this data is normalized on the MindBreeze side, we're able to build really structured and reliable references between the documents. So this knowledge graph is built in a really reliable and structured way. And this can also help with things like the schema consistency as well. So the ontologies, that's also something that we can help normalize and scale. We are fully capable of handling and maintaining exceptionally large ontologies directly on the MindBreeze side, and also more than just one ontology. So if we have department-specific ontologies, that's something we're also able to support there as well. So when it comes to building and scaling knowledge graphs, that's something that we have a lot of experience with, and you could say it's really our expertise within MindBreeze to get that done right and get that done right from the outset.
Yeah, I agree. I think that we really push our customizability, and that's a huge part of it, being able to bring in the company specific ontologies and make sure that when a customer employee is using their jargon, it's not lost on the system. Lastly, we like to end our podcast by asking about the future. How do you see the role of knowledge graphs evolving? Not necessarily maybe at MindBreeze, you can at MindBreeze, but in general too, for enterprise applications.
Yeah, so I think knowledge graphs are going to just continuously be a really large part of the whole context of enterprise applications and also RAG and agentic AI as well. So the whole concept of knowledge graphs and really connecting information together is, in general, a really powerful concept. Mm-hmm. And it's not something which I think will go away anytime soon. If anything, we're going to be leveraging it more and more. So as I was mentioning earlier, when we feed LLMs and RAG more information, but also more relevant information, more pertinent information, and the more that we can give it, the more we can expect to receive a highly accurate and a highly useful answer for the end users. So in the context of agentic AI and RAG, which is becoming a much larger piece of our daily lives worldwide, in almost every industry and aspect of our lives, I think we can see knowledge graphs being a large part of that. I don't think that RAG or agentic AI or LLMs are going to do anything to replace knowledge graphs at all. Rather, I think knowledge graphs are going to grow in tandem with LLMs and help provide LLMs with the additional context and relevant information that they need.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. This was very informative and interesting as always. Thanks again for coming on and sharing with us.
Yeah, thanks very much for having me. It's been fun.
Be sure to subscribe to Illuminating Information on your favorite podcast platform. If you have a question, topic you would like us to cover, or know someone who would make a great guest on this podcast, reach out to us on our website and let us know. Stay innovative, stay informed, and as always, keep illuminating information.